It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. 145, where are we at in society? Looks like Bono hates you too as much as we do. Who knew? At 130, we begin looking ahead at the matchups of the NFL's divisional playoff round. In a mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Justin Wells of Inside Texas and On3.com. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two on a Wednesday. Hope you're having a good one. If it's Wednesday, that means it is Wednesday Night Flex at 7 o'clock tonight, talking some high school sports. You got RBKD at 3 as normal, and then as soon as they're done, Snoop and the crew with Wednesday Night Flex. Remember, check out FLXATX.com for high school football stuff, high school sports stuff. And you can get you some gear. I got my Flex shirt on today, so check that out. Also, if you want your school and or that athlete of yours to get a little extra attention, Flex can help you out there as well with some really cool videos and other sort of promotional things for your school and for those athletes. They do a lot of cool stuff there. Check them out, FLXATX.com. All right, we got a lot of football on the board today. We have talked a little Texas basketball, of course, even though it was not the night the Longhorns wanted. We'll get into all of that. We'll get into the guy that was seen in the suite and some other stuff right now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. He is Justin Wells of Inside Texas on 3.com, and he's on Twitter at JustinWells2424 if you want to give him a shout. We visit with him every Wednesday about this time. Justin, how are you?
Hey, now. Doing pretty well, gentlemen. How about yourselves?
Well, we're doing pretty good. We're doing well. Let's go ahead and start with the guy in the suite last night. Trey was talking earlier about how, and it does happen a lot of times, when you see somebody in a logo or a uniform or whatever that just hasn't been them, it does look a little strange. I'm sure you guys at Inside Texas and On3.com heard from a lot of Longhorn fans just trying to process that part of it, seeing Gary Patterson rocking a little burnt orange and rocking the Longhorn logo.
I wanted to puke into a bucket, Justin.
You may have to get in line, but listen, you know, we've long reported that Gary Patterson and Texas have been talked about a position, and we all know about the position that was posted last week, you know, assistant to the head coach and things of that sort. So we've been trying to wrap our heads around the realization of Gary Patterson coming to Texas and working for the University of Texas, because it just seemed so far-fetched that even when we were getting good information, it's still sort of hard to believe. Then you see the guy rocking a Longhorn shirt, and I got to tell you, it took me back a few seconds. I wasn't prepared for what I saw, but you know what? Things change, times change, and one of the guys that used to probably negative recruit the school more than anybody is now working for the school. And to me, I think once I get over the image that he's gone in the burnt orange, once I get past that image, I instantly lock into Texas now has around campus one of the best defensive minds in college football, period. And this guy can do a lot of good stuff for this program. And I love that Steve Sarkisian and Chris Del Conte are making this move to assure that the program is always on the up, and they're always trying to bring in the best they can to kind of get everybody in place. Gary, I was not expecting to see that from Gary Patterson. I'm sure most people weren't either, but what did they expect? You're at the Drum. There's probably, 60 people there. So you're going to be seen. You're going to be seen in one of those suites. I mean, you could probably hear them talk.
Yeah.
People there. And so, but being serious, it was certainly it took me back a little bit when we saw it last night. But you know what? That's the sign of the times now. Gary Patterson in Texas, buckle up, folks, because he's on board.
So, in a perfect world, Justin, assuming that Gary Patterson takes the job, which the job is his. I mean, it's all we're waiting for is the official announcement at this point. But in a perfect world, are we not hearing about anything about Gary Patterson the rest of this offseason or throughout the 2022 season if he is doing his job correctly?
I think so. I'd like to think so. I think if you look at it from another angle, if everyone on the defensive side is doing their job, if the defense is taking a step forward this season in 2022, you know, obviously through spring ball, summer workouts, and then in fall when it really matters, you know, if you put it into context, this is a guy that, you know, he can do a lot of good things for you. He's been around for a long time. And if the Texas defensive staff is putting together the best defensive guys they can to put them in the right position to make the right plays, I think we don't hear from him. And I think that is a positive because that means Coach PK has been doing his job. That means those guys on that side of the ball have been taking care of their business. And so in a perfect world, you know, the assistant to the head coach wouldn't have much to say. You know, Dwight Schrute, the assistant to the regional manager, that guy was in Michael Scott's office all the time. I really, really hope that's not what Patterson has to do. I hope he finds his niche, he finds his role, he gets to help out guys, especially on the defensive side. If him and Coach Kagan are on the same page, you know, both of them have to respect what the other one can bring. And I know Coach Kwiatkowski, you know, has respect for Coach Patterson. So if we don't hear anything from him in 2022, I think that means Texas has a pretty damn good season in football, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Good God, that Dwight Schrute comparison just struck me to my core. Hopefully there's not some deep-rooted plan to take control all for himself. Now, as far as the product that Gary and CDC and about 58 other people were watching at the Irwin Center last night, Justin, I mean, what better describes what happened with Texas versus Kansas State than disappointment? At some point, this basketball team, they have to take care of business against the teams in this conference that they should be beating, especially at home. But here we are, them experiencing a loss to a Kansas State squad that was just a couple games over 500, 1-4 in conference play heading into this matchup in Austin. And now Texas is the one that continues to reel, and they have one win over a Q1 opponent on the season, and that is ironically Kansas State, based on Kansas State beating them last night. Now their win over Kansas State in Manhattan counts as a Q1 win. Other than that, they've beaten a bunch of nobodies. There's no guarantees that this team is even going to be in the tournament come March right now, especially if they don't get things figured out on offense.
That's exactly what I was going to say in regards to Kansas State. Texas actually got a quality win on their resume now because they beat K-State before. And now, but they had to lose to them to give them that quality win. If that's not backwards, I don't know what is. This team, it doesn't lack talent. It doesn't lack defensive acumen. It doesn't lack athletes and the ability to crash the boards and score the bucket. They just, for whatever reason, they're having a really, really difficult time putting the ball in the basket. And, you know, in the offseason, there was a lot of buildup. There was a lot of expectations. And that's what happens when you add as many quality players as they did. There are three or four of these guys that joined the team for one more run that could have probably went into the NBA draft, especially like a Marcus Carr or a Timmy Allen. There's really no excuse for them to go through stretches without getting a bucket. Now, they're not going to be – under Chris Beard, you're not going to be a high-scoring team. He's more of a ball-control guy, deliberate on the offensive side and playing hellacious defense and crashing the boards on the defensive side. So you don't expect it, you know, them to have high-scoring games. That's just not going to happen. But you can't go through stretches and minutes without a bucket, especially when you have so many bigs who, if you could just get the ball to the paint, get him to the bucket, you're either going to draw a foul, you're going to draw contact, you're going to get it to the rim. It's little things like that. There's no reason this bunch shouldn't do that. They've certainly fallen short of expectations, but you know, give them a little bit more time. It's middle January. They've got about a good month and a half left to kind of get things together and rally them. And maybe last night's loss is what does that. Maybe that galvanizes them. Maybe Beard comes in and they make a few moves, make a few changes, and see what they can do. Ultimately, guard is a scoring guard, so he's not going to be a table setter. He's not going to set it up for other guys. And Carr had a great game last night, especially, you know, putting the ball in the bucket. But he's got to get everybody else involved. And when you go through those long stretches without a basket, and you're not forcing the ball inside in the lane, when you can't score, for 5 or 6 minutes, that's when you got to go back to the basics. Get the ball into the block, go to the hole. Get the ball in the corner, get the ball in the hole. They're not doing that. And right now, this team needs a quality win big time, not just for their resume in the NCAA tournament, but for their confidence. I think that's starting to slip a little bit. I think you're starting to see that slide a little bit, and that's not a good trend, especially in the middle of January.
Talking with Justin Wells, Inside Texas on 3.com. Justin, back to football, the transfer portal discussion over the last couple of weeks. There was a receiver in the discussion. He made another choice. There was a linebacker in the discussion. He made another choice. But there's a tight end that decided he will come to Texas. Give us your thoughts on Billingsley and how you think he could fit in.
Jaleel Billingsley, this kid, you know, Texas has done a great job in the kids that they have procured from the portal, from Quinn Ewers to Ryan Watts, and now Jaleel Billingsley. This was a John Mackey Award watch list kid at the beginning of the season after a pretty strong 2020 campaign at Alabama. It seemed, though, that he kind of lost his way when Sarkisian and Jeff Banks left. Those were two guys that he was really close to, he was really big with, and had a good run with those guys. He just seemed to kind of get in the doghouse a little bit, and I think him coming to Austin and reuniting with Sark and with Banks is going to be a really, really good plus. This is a kid that's got a ton of NFL potential. When you look for these big tight ends that play on Sundays, this guy fits the mold. He can be a special guy. He just has to get back to where he was. And I think reuniting with those coaches is a big deal. And then, you know, Texas is still in the mix for some other kids. There's some guys that they're still trying to bring in to join those guys, like Billingsley. You've got a linebacker like Jalen Moody out of Alabama. He's a kid that Texas has put themselves in a really good position to land over the next few days that could potentially happen. You're looking at a safety from Georgia. We reported earlier today that Georgia defensive back Latavius Breeny is going to be visiting Texas really soon. This is a kid that played a lot of snaps on the national championship team for Georgia last season at 6'2", 210 pounds. So, you know, you win some, you lose some. I always say the portal giveth and the portal taketh away. It sometimes it's a zero-sum match. But if you look at the guys that Texas has hit on so far in this portal era this offseason, Ewers, Watts, and Billingsley, to me, that's tremendous. And they're still in the mix for a handful of other ones. Don't forget, Wyoming transfer wide receiver Isaiah Nayor is on a one-day visit in Austin today. This is an outside receiver that fits a lot of what they want. They want a complimentary wideout for Xavier Worthy. They want a guy that can be healthy and play that outside spot and stretch the field and get vertical, because when you have a Quinn Ewers-type arm, you need guys that can get down the field as fast as possible, because he's got an arm that touches every part of the field. Nayor committed to Tennessee, but he's still taking visits. He visited Ole Miss last weekend. Like I said, he's going to be in Texas in Austin today. And so it remains to be seen how the portal is going to finish up for Texas before spring ball really gets kicked off. But give him credit. Landon Billingsley was big. This is a kid that, in the right system, in the right circumstance, could be an immediate impact guy. And after they lost Jared Wiley to TCU in the offseason, I think this is a fantastic upgrade.
Justin, what do you think of Cameron Dicker foregoing that extra season of eligibility to focus on his pro prospects? And is he a punter or kicker at the next level?
You know, I think he's both. I think he can do both. Now, you know, in a pinch, he can definitely punt. I definitely think he's going to be a kicker. That's going to be his calling card in the NFL. But, you know, he's got a big foot. I mean, and he's a soccer specialist since he was a kid. And so those guys, they know how to do. They know how to kick the football. And so he did a lot of good things for Texas. I know some people say, well, the last two seasons he would miss some gimmies, some chippies. But overall, a lot of people they're not going to forget that big game-winning kick his freshman year against OU to beat the Sooners at the Red River Shootout. I mean, that's going to go down in history. And you got to just wish the kid the best. I mean, he was consistent, even though he did fall off a little bit in the last season or two. The kid was really consistent. I think he did everything he could at the collegiate level, and I think that the next logical step was the NFL. And you have to give the kid his credit. You know, it's going to be fun. The only part I don't like is I'm going to miss the play on his name. I understand it probably got a little over the top, but Dicker the Kicker, I mean, you can't make that stuff up.
Hey, but remember, Justin, Gus Johnson does do some NFL games. You're going to get some Dicker the Kicker if he hits a big one. You know Gus Johnson will be there for you.
Oh, man, that's no question. Yeah, no question. And so I'm happy for Cameron Dicker. I think he served his time well for the University of Texas, and I wish him all the best in the NFL. He's going to get a shot. He's going to wind up in a camp. And if he can do both, that punting and kicking, that's only going to add to his value when it comes to playing on Sundays.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the NFL teams look at him since he did such good punting there at the end of his career at Texas. All right, Justin, before we let you go, you and I are both Cowboys fans. I won't make you talk about it a ton, but anything you want to say about Cowboys and Niners before we let you go?
Yeah, there's just one thing. Oh, wow. Yeah, that San Francisco game, you know what's sad, Chad, is we talked about this last Wednesday, and the first thing I said, the last thing I said was San Francisco can win this game.
Yep.
And I really honestly thought that because of how well they were playing and because they were playing kind of a more physical, different style than other teams in the NFC. And I didn't know if Dallas was ready for that. Going through the NFC East, they ate their baby food. They went 6-0. They took care of that. But outside of the conference, they were outside of the division, they were 5-6. And that reared its ugly head. Another thing I thought was impressive is how they came back. I really, really thought this team, they were one play from winning this football game. But that kind of summarizes the Dallas Cowboys. They're always going to be one play away, one mistake away, one bad call away, one horribly time-managed play away, one turnover away. Mike McCarthy is kind of set in his ways. We know what you get with him. But this team was too talented to lose to San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo almost tried to give them this game, and they still couldn't take it. And as much as I want to bitch about 14 penalties in one game, tell me one of those penalties that wasn't legit.
Exactly. Yep. I agree.
Everything they screwed up on their own. And when you got a lack of discipline from top to bottom, and let me tell you, brother, it starts at the top. There's one constant in this 25 years of crapness, and it's Jerry Jones. And until that man is long gone from this earth, I don't think that's ever going to change. Dallas is going to regroup. They're going to draft well. They're going to bring in some new guys. They may lose their coordinators. Wouldn't bother me if Kellen Moore took off. I think he's kind of ready to go down the road anyway. Dan Quinn, I hope, really stays because I think he got the most out of those guys, and I think they were getting better and better throughout the season. But I want to give San Francisco credit. Kyle Shanahan came in with an offensive game plan and was a mastermind. That thing was executed flawlessly for three quarters. And if it wasn't for Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, doing Jimmy Garoppolo things, that thing might have been a blowout. And so I see both sides of it. It's incredibly disappointing. This is one of the best Cowboys teams I've seen in 10 years. They've got a window with this offensive line that is closing very, very quickly. Connor Williams has not progressed to the NFL starter level like most people had hoped. Tyron Smith is not getting younger. Lael Collins is not getting slender. This is a group, and then you got to make a decision with Tony Pollard because I told you and I've talked about this. That's a starting running back in the NFL, and Zeke Elliott is losing ground. Each year he seems to be getting a little slower, a little worse, and a little more dinged up. And they really have to make a lot of decisions this offseason when it comes to Tony Pollard and those guys. At the end of the day, I still like the core of this team. I still think they drafted pretty well over the last few years, and I still think the defense can still be built around and can still be really solid. But the offensive line needs to be tweaked. And however you go into game planning in the playoffs, you have got to make sure you're matching wits. And Kyle Shanahan was a mismatch over Mike McCarthy in this game.
If you were Jerry, would you be looking for a replacement for Mike McCarthy right now?
You know, I would, but that's not the problem. Part of it. The problem's at the top. If I'm Jerry, I'm looking for another Jerry. Another head coach. I'm not looking for coordinators or another general manager. Will Clay does a tremendous job as VP of player operations. They've got some really good people in some really big spots. It's just the ownership. They can't get out of their own way. And if I'm Jerry Jones, he's not going to change. Chad and I know that. You know, most Cowboys fans know that. Not going to change. And so I'm certainly disappointed. This is not the way the season should end. But you know what? Give San Francisco credit. I will say this. I was really happy to see Charles Omenihu making plays. I got to speak to him after the game, and I don't know if I've ever heard such joy in a young man's voice in my life. He got to put on in his city, in his hometown, against the Dallas Cowboys. Our guy got to do a lot of good things on Sunday, and even though the Cowboys lost, and even though I'm still pissed off about it, I loved seeing Charles Omenihu go out there and make plays and put his name in the paper. And so at the end of the day, Dallas has some changes to make, but it starts at the top. Until that thing gets changed, nothing changes.
That is Justin Wells. Check out InsideTexas.com, On3.com, and he's on Twitter at Justin Wells, 2424. Justin, we appreciate it as always, man. Have a great rest of your week. We'll hit you next Wednesday.
Nothing but love, gentlemen.
Thanks, brother.
Good stuff there. Get on over to Inside Texas if you're looking to follow all the Longhorn stuff, including that basketball team just trying to find its way right now. And, yes, Gary Patterson rocking the logo in the suite. Trey, I don't know if there's any better indicator of the fact that it is done than the fact that he wore the logo. Like, there's no reason. Gary Patterson would never wear that logo unless they already had some kind of an agreement.
Completely agreed. That's part of the reason why I had that sick feeling in my gut.
No, that's it. You're going to have to now process that feeling because I think it is absolutely happening. We just need to know what the label is going to be. All right, coming up next, the divisional round is coming up in the NFL. How about some injury updates, including if Tennessee's going to get that guy back? And just how much protection could Tom Brady lose this week? We'll talk about it on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Carrying that note around. What do you got, Trey?
This is a band that both you and I are fans of in terms of the songs we've heard on this program. St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Their new song is Minotaur.
Yeah, good stuff. Every time. You're right. St. Paul and the Broken Bones with some new music. We're hitting you with it on a Wednesday this week. Obviously, the new music hits on Fridays now. And you know, Trey and I do love our music. We are music snobs. We will admit it. Trey's got to carry the weight of being a food snob as well. I don't do that as much, but it's got to be tough. Got to be tough every day to be Trey Elling and be both at the same time.
No, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, it's not tough.
I don't have to know the history of these things because I've never claimed that that's part of my expertise. I just have opinions on food and music.
That's why snobbery is so much fun. You don't really have to be an expert. Snob and expert are two different words.
I would suggest that you are not only a music snob, you are also a music expert.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. There's too much music to know.
I get it.
To be an expert. But
talking to you about so many different styles of music over the years and just your knowledge in terms of the songs themselves, the bands, and just so much more. It is impressive.
Well, I appreciate that.
Zay tries and plays the get one over on Chad game, and more often than not, you pass that test.
Yeah, he gets me a few times. He does get me a few times. Speaking of Isaiah Collier, We got Isaiah coming in for Thursday. Well, he won't be coming in to hang with us on Friday because we're going out on Friday.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. But he is going to produce, I believe, tomorrow and Friday. So we'll get to talk to the newly officially, well, he was already officially married, but the post-wedding Isaiah Collier.
Yeah, the post-public celebration, Zay. And I can ask him if they got video of the Soul Train style dance line. I'm assuming they did.
Oh, dude, if somebody got a shot of your face during the gritty, I want to see it over and over and over again.
So nervous.
That is exciting. All right, so more great new music coming your way throughout the show today. And as a reminder, we are out and about. You've heard Trey talk about Whitestone and Hopwater for a while. We're going to go hang out with the Whitestone folks in Cedar Park on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Come see us. Bring a layer because it might be a little chilly, but that's all right. Trey is offering up. Can you buy me a hop water too? Not just the people?
Oh, no doubt. Okay. Now, Whitestone Brewery, they are founded on beer and they have awesome beer. So they'll be offering, which is, I think, the regular bid on Fridays, $1 off all beers.
Oh.
But if you come out and you want a hop water, the first hop water is on me.
All right. Well,
and they do it on draft, too, which is a great way to consume hop water.
I will try both. Plus, on Friday, I will tell you about the two drinks that I have come up with that involve hop water.
Oh, excellent.
We'll get to that on Friday.
Can't wait to hear it. Now, are you giving them names yet?
I'm working on them.
Okay.
I'm workshopping that. I'll have those for you on Friday. It is on Whitestone Boulevard, so you don't even have to worry about too much address memorization, but it's Whitestone Boulevard there in Cedar Park.
Yeah, Whitestone, a.k.a. 1431, between the 183 Toll Road and Bell Boulevard. There's the Train Yard Shopping Center. It's in there. It's okay. Tucked back a little bit, but if you know where that Train Yard Shopping Center is, that's where you turn in to find Whitestone.
So come see us on Friday for the show.
And by the way, we're celebrating their six-year anniversary on Saturday. There's going to be a huge party on Saturday. I think I'm going to bring the family out for a little bit where
nice.
They are doing some special beer releases. There's some great food that will be out there, live music, some glassware celebrating the occasion that you can purchase, and just good times to be had. It's a great local organization. It's mom and pop owned, and they crank out a fantastic product, whether you're talking about the hop water or one of those excellent beers.
So come see us on Friday for the show. Also, of course, this weekend, you've got the NFL divisional round, and let's start with one of the teams that comes back off of a rest, and that is Tennessee. Trey, great news for Titans fans, bad news for Bengals fans. Derrick Henry, not only back at practice with contact.
Mm.
They made sure yesterday to have the defensive guys go after him a little bit to see if he could deal with it. Remember, this was week 8 on the injury, so he has not been able to build up that, you know, the hits over time that you need as a running back. So let's see if they can put him, how much can they put him back in, A, how close can he be to regular Derrick Henry, and then ultimately does that get him this win?
I bet Titans defensive players were thrilled at the prospect of having to initiate contact with Derrick Henry.
For the first time ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it had to be fun.
Yeah, that is obviously a great sign for Tennessee, a team that is some teams have trended in the other direction. They've been trending in a positive direction on offense because they've gotten healthier. They got Julio Jones back. Then they get A.J. Brown back. Those two things made a big difference. And in the meantime, as they were waiting patiently to get Derrick Henry back, I think they did a great job of going out and getting Deontay Foreman, who came in and filled in admirably. And now he's a backup option for them, has really solidified the position. Even though Derrick Henry is your guy, Foreman can come in a pinch if needed, if the conditioning isn't quite there for Henry, and there's not going to be that big of a drop-off.
If they get rolling that run game downhill, if the receivers are pretty healthy, and if the good Ryan Tannehill shows up, that could be a long day for Cincinnati. And another guy I'm looking for in this game is, how does Jeffrey Simmons look on that defensive line?
Mm-hmm.
I think he could be the thing that disrupts Joe Burrow's whole game plan, the whole thing he's trying to do. That defensive front for Tennessee, that to me is when they're the most effective, when they're just living in the backfield.
Yeah, Cincinnati needs Joe Mixon to be better running the football than he has been for the better part of the last month. And obviously, Cincinnati is still trying to throw it all over the place. But Joe Mixon returning to that midseason form is going to go a long ways in them trying to pull off the upset. Ultimately, I think Tennessee just has too much on both sides of the ball, whereas Cincinnati, they're especially weak at linebacker, Chad, and that's not a good position to be weak against going up against Derrick Henry's team.
That's a good point. That's the first game out of the block on Saturday, 3:30 our time, 7:15, Niners-Packers, always sounds like a classic. Then, Trey, the Sunday matchup, 2 o'clock with the Rams and the Bucks. A couple other injury stories here that we'll watch throughout the week. Think about how that Rams defense just looked. Think about what they did to Arizona. Tristan Wirfs and Ryan Jensen are listed as uncertain right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What is that, between questionable and doubtful?
Yeah, well, that's when you don't have to officially tell us yet, because on Thursday, I guess, is when they tell us. Wirfs has been in a boot after what he went through, and I couldn't believe the Bucs tried to put him back in that ball game.
He did not look good when he went back into that ball game. That was a borderline reckless decision by them.
And Ryan Jensen, if you don't realize, Wirfs is the right tackle, so he's protecting Brady's face on the right side. Jensen's the center. He went out for a while. He did come back in the game. But if either of those guys is out, that is a huge impact. If I'm seeing it right, I got to go back and check out which of these games, the ones that are rematches, what happened in the first one. But I think I saw a little crawl today that Brady had 55 attempts in the first game against the Rams.
Wow.
He's not going to get anywhere near 55, at least standing, if those two guys are not in the game. Last year, the Bucs took advantage of a team that had offensive line problems. Now I'm starting to wonder if the football gods are about to pay him back and say, all right, Tom, let's see how you deal with it if your center and your right tackle are different.
Do we know if Lenny Fournette is playing in this one?
And I haven't heard that for sure yet.
Because Vaughn did an admirable job last week as that team's starting running back, but I think they are going to need Fournette going forward starting this weekend. Ultimately, I'm still picking the Rams to win this game, in part because although they don't have great depth, their starting 22 is healthy for the most part right now, and that includes some absolute playmakers on defense. And whether it's Jensen or somebody else at center, they're going to have their hands full with Aaron Donald.
The other thing that I would be concerned about, if you're looking for, if you're thinking the Bucs were going to advance, how different will they be against this Rams defense without Godwin? That's going to be big, because their receiving core doesn't feel as dynamic. Not that he's the most dynamic receiver in the league, but when you take him out and you're trying to work with Miller, obviously you got Mike Evans. That's, you know, you know that's a guy you can count on. But in terms of being a dynamic, really press the field, go down the field kind of team, that's not really what they are without Godwin.
And Mike Evans is a great matchup for Jalen Ramsey. Like, I think that the secondary guys for the Bucs are really going to have to step up for this one. And if there's a game in these playoffs that will show how badly Tampa misses both Godwin and Antonio Brown, it's going to be this one, because those secondary guys are going to have to make plays.
Secondary for the Rams. You said Bucs.
Secondary receivers for the Bucs.
Oh, secondary receivers. Yes,
are going
to
have to make plays, because I think Jalen Ramsey is going to do a good job of locking down Mike Evans.
I think if the Bucs win this game, it's because people say to themselves, who the heck is Brashad Perryman? I think that's the kind of guy. He's going to have to make a catch. And Miller, too. Remember the big catch Miller made against the Packers last year?
Sure.
That sneak throw at the end of the first half that fooled everybody? It's those kind of guys, you're right, that are going to have to make catches. And maybe the other tight end, the non-Gronk tight ends, are going to have to make catches, Brate and Howard. That probably has to happen as well. But if those two offensive linemen don't play, look out. If Aaron Donald's able to come right up the middle at Tom Brady, that is the kryptonite, brother. That's Christopher Reeve at the bottom of that pool with Miss Tassmacher kind of kryptonite if 99 is in his face all day.
Yeah, organic penetration is the name of the game for both teams on defense, because Matthew Stafford, as good as he looked in getting that first playoff win against the Cardinals on Monday night, he is a guy who is prone to some really stupid mistakes when he's facing pressure. And what has this Bucs defense been really good at this year, on top of stopping the opposition's run game at times, getting after the quarterback with the front four or five?
Yeah, and defensively, the Bucs are pretty healthy.
They are
healthy, these two defenses are coming in pretty healthy in this one.
They are. I still think that there are plays to be made on the Bucs' secondary, but they've got good guys in the back end, too.
I'll also be fair enough to ask this question. This particular playoff season, will Bucks defensive backs get every single call and not get defensive PI called on them?
You hope so in this one.
Remember,
because this is a brutal matchup for them in terms of the receivers the Rams are rolling out there.
Because last year during the Super Bowl run, Sean Murphy Bunting became Darrell Revis in his prime. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it happened, but all referees decided he did not get any calls. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Couldn't believe what we were seeing there. If you were a fan, you loved it. But if you're a fan of the Rams, you hope that does not happen and your receivers get the love this week. Lots of good NFL action. Rams-Bucks starts on Sunday at 2, and then the 5:30 is Bills and Chiefs to finish it all off. We'll be talking about those games throughout the week. It is the week where I'm going to have to get aggressive with Isaiah if I'm going to avoid the Mohawk. That'll come up on Friday. Trey officially has to get the Mohawk by the end of this week. I may be official there as well. Up next, though, it's where we at in society. That's always official, or maybe it's never official. Today, Bono hates you too? Oh, say it ain't so, Trey. He'll explain next on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
For you on this Wednesday. What do you got, Trey?
This is Parquet Courts. The song is called Watching Strangers Smile.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What a fantastic name for a song.
I dig it.
Oh, my God. Another band that every time you play them, I feel like I dig the track.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's with
good.
You on that.
It's good stuff. It's a kind of a cool. That voice takes me back to the 80s. Kind of I can't think of exactly some of the 80s. A little more of a new sort of the 80s new wave stuff.
It has wave. But it also has a little bit of a Joey Ramone sound to it too.
Like, yeah, a little bit
throaty. Like there's a throatiness there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good stuff. New Parquet Courts out there. Watching Strangers Smile. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. All right, some more new music coming for you as the show goes on. Also, I looked at an update during the break. Leonard Fournette did show up for the walkthrough today for the Bucks, and so he is out there. Had barely practiced up to that point, but he at least was part of a walkthrough. Also, Bucks fans are trying to figure out what his tweet means when he pledged to be there on Sunday, although he didn't pledge to play on Sunday. So they're trying to go through the details of all that.
Well, he's going to be there in spirit, Chad.
As right. We'll keep you up to date on all the injury news as we get closer to the divisional round. Right now, though, it is where we at in society. Trey's got a weird one for you.
Where are we at in society today?
That's right. Today's Where We At in Society is brought to you by Student Loan Payment Lawn Care. Go to slplawncare.com to have Jake and his crew out to your place to help with your landscaping needs like they do with us every couple of weeks. That includes mowing the lawn, trimming trees and bushes, and occasionally help us clearing debris and things like that. All right, Chad, you too is one of those bands that I don't even know if they're that paralyzing or polarizing, rather. I feel like people generally like U2.
I think
in
that's
some
fair.
way, shape, or form. Are you a U2 fan?
I'm not a massive fan of the band, but I respect the hell out of them. Like, my wife's not into U2. That was never her band. But, I mean, I don't think she hates U2.
Okay. There was some of their older stuff that I'm a fan of, but starting around the turn of the century, when they started forcing new albums on us,
they got a lot of static for that. That the fact that one of their new albums just now was free, but it just appeared on everybody's iTunes or whatever. That was a weird one.
Don't force your album on us like it's something that Harvey Weinstein came up with, please.
Wow,
There's no need to do that. We'll either buy the album or we won't. You can offer it for free, but don't force it into our iTunes collection. There was no need for that. Well, I actually, if I'm being perfectly honest, I don't care much for U2. Shtick is BS. Okay. I think Bono literally buying first class tickets to have sunglasses or hats flown to wherever they're performing in concert so that he can be totally comfortable on stage is quite pompous. And there are plenty of others who don't care much for U2. Well, I guess me and plenty of others are going to be happy to know that Bono doesn't think much of the band either. Bono was on a podcast recently, and he said some surprising things about the band. The Awards Chatter podcast landed the interview with the U2 frontman and found out that, amongst other things, he hates the band's name.
What?
Is, quote, embarrassed by most of their songs and only believes he recently learned how to sing. The 61-year-old singer admitted that he doesn't like the name U2. I really don't, he said, but I was late into some kind of dyslexia. I didn't realize that the Beatles was a bad pun either. He added that in our head, it was like the spy plane. U-boat. It was futuristic, as it turned out to imply this kind of acquiescence. No, I don't like that name. I still don't really like the name. However, our first manager said, look, it's a great name. It's going to look good on a t-shirt, a letter, and a number.
What?
So,
what kind of drugs was he on that day?
I don't know.
All those years later, and I understand once you're that big, maybe it doesn't really matter, but the lead singer of a band that big saying you don't like the name of the band, need to keep that one to yourself there, bro.
When it comes to U2's chart-topping discography, Bono would rather not revisit it. Quote, I've been in the car when one of our songs has come on the radio, and I've been the color of, as we say in Dublin, scarlet. I'm just so embarrassed. He added that the band sounds incredible, but the problem is his Irish macho voice, which comes across as strained. The one that I can listen to the most is Miss Sarajevo with Luciano Pavarotti. He said, genuine. Most of the other ones make me cringe a little bit, although Vertigo is probably the one I'm proudest of. It's the way that it connects with the crowd.
Yeah, see, that just sounds like he's doing a weird version of, like, he's trying to make fun of himself. He's trying to self-deprecation or whatever. But still, it's a very, what an odd conversation. Bravo to the podcast people for getting Bono to go down that road. What kind of guts do you have to ask Bono, hey, man, what do you think of the name U2?
Yeah. Well,
like, I would expect Bono to walk out when they asked that question.
He was grilled about his own singing voice, and he said he hated his voice, especially after hearing, it's funny that we just mentioned this guy, Joey Ramone. Quote, the big discovery for me was listening to the Ramones and hearing the beautiful kind of sound of Joey Ramone and realizing I didn't have to be that rock and roll singer. Bono added, I only became a singer like recently. Maybe it hasn't happened yet for some people's ears, and I understand that.
Wow.
So he's just bagging on himself left and right.
Pure honesty from Bono. Okay.
That's right. Bono hates you too.
That is weird.
Apparently as much as me.
That is so bizarre. Like, yeah, all these years. That's if only all lead singers could just be that honest after all these years. Like, Robert Plant admits the name Led Zeppelin always bugged him. Like, what? What are you talking about?
I can see how Bono would get tired of the melodramatics that come with a lot of the songs that they sing.
I guess. Yeah.
I mean, some are dealing with serious issues, serious topics, so I guess they're less melodramatic as a result, but there is this grandiose way with U2 that gets tiresome really fast.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have gone that far, but hey, well, to each his own. There you go. Bono, not the biggest U2 fan in the world. Who knew? Who knew? That can happen, I guess. I've heard football players over the years say they're not really big football fans. They just happen to be good at it.
Maybe Bono is just like most radio people, where we hate listening to ourselves, going back and listening to critique ourselves. We just hate the sounds of our own voice more than anybody else possibly could.
See, I think that's what he's doing on that second set of comments. I think he's saying, like, look, I think the song is fine and the band's fine, but, like, I don't want to go back and listen to myself sing a lot. If he had just said it that way, maybe it'd be a little easier to understand. Maybe that's what he's saying.
Well, it's funny with a band name. For all my critiques of U2 over the years, the band name has never been one of those critiques. I actually thought the band name was brilliant by them.
Yeah, no, it is nice and simple.
Right.
And it is, it catches your eye.
Yeah, and it also has, even though it's not spelled exactly like this, it does have that double meaning of like including you.
Yeah. Right.
With what it is that they're trying to do.
That's what the manager was trying to tell him back in the day.
I know.
Apparently he wasn't listening. He wasn't into it. All right, coming up, we're always into the Cowboys, and Ari Temkin's been with us throughout the season to talk about them. One more visit with Ari because the Cowboys lost to the Niners. We'll get his thoughts on it. Ari Temkin from the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network coming right up on the Horn.